Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Are we ever ready to leave this world? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for being with us through another year. We thank you for the protecting hand that has rested upon so many of us. And where this was the last year for many of our loved ones, we pray that by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, they now live with you in heaven. As we begin another year, we ask that you will erase the fears and bring us a peace which passes all understanding in knowing Christ as Savior and Lord. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thank you.
friends in Christ. Mary and Joseph were great parents to the Lord Jesus. Certainly, we have to think of Jesus at this particular time in his earthly stay on this life as one who was a normal little child, yet without sin. The father and the mother understood what the responsibilities were for a good Jewish couple raising their child. And the first obligation that they had was to see that he was circumcised. This took place then on the eighth day, not the ninth, not the seventh, but the eighth day. For thus it was written in the Word of God. You see, God had established a covenant with his people. This came through their father by the name of Abraham. But this covenant was personalized when the circumcision took place for that individual child. So Mary and Joseph followed the law and saw to it that Jesus went through the rite of circumcision. Then some days later, and only a few days later, they went again to the temple, this time to present him to the priest. And as a result of that, he was consecrated, and he was given over to God, and in whatever way God could use him, that was what the parents wanted to have happened. It was while they were there that they ran into a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, and he is described in the Gospel of Luke as righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is, he was waiting for the Messiah to come, and the Lord had promised him that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. So on this particular day, he was moved by the Spirit, and he went into the temple courts. Then they brought the child in to the court, and it was at that particular time that Simeon's eyes met the Christ child in the arms of his father and mother. He went over to them, picked the child up, and placed him in his own arms. He was moved by the Spirit. We don't know what the discussion was about between Mary and Joseph, but then he uttered these words that have become so meaningful in the lives of so many of us. It is known as a nunc dimittis. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. That was his prayer. He was saying, Lord, you promised that I would live long enough that I would see the Messiah. Now that I have seen the Messiah and I have held him in my own arms, I am ready to die. As a child, as a young man, at our evening services back in my home congregation in Maine, we often concluded that evening service with these words, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Therefore, that portion of God's word has remained very, very precious to me. Simeon was ready to go. That is, he was ready to leave this world. He wanted to die, but he had a basis for that. He had seen the Christ. He had received the Christ. He again had held him in his arms. You know, it is easy for people to say today, I'm ready to go, but there's no basis for it. No basis whatsoever, no faith. The only way to be ready to go is to be able to trust Jesus Christ and say, I have laid all my sins upon him. And many of these people who are so flippantly saying, I'm ready to go, have no relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ at all. This is not the way Simeon said it. Simeon said, the object of my faith is Christ, and I have seen him. You know, you can talk with a student, and you can say to him, well, tomorrow you're going to have your examination. Yep. Well, I think I'm ready. But then you see the student who said, I am prepared. I am ready. That student has a basis for making that statement. It is that he has done his lesson, and he knows the materials, and he's ready to go in there and present it to the professor. My question, friend, for us who have now come through another blessed Christmas season is this. Are we ready? Are we ready to meet him? Are we ready to say, I have held the Christ in my arms, or he's in my heart? Or maybe we can turn around and put it this way. Now he has held me. He holds me. He grants me the forgiveness of my sins. He restores me into fellowship with God. I am his. There is a basis for my saying that I am ready to go. I may not want to go. I don't particularly want to go, though I've had a very full life. And I can honestly say by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, I'm ready. And there's a basis for it. But I'd like to stay around for a little bit longer. I'd kind of like to stay around and be with my friends and my family. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have another Christmas? A long ways off. Yes, I pray that the Christmas has made your salvation more sure than it ever was. And if prior to Christmas, if somebody had asked you, do you know that you're ready to meet God? And you would have had to say, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I hope so. That now you can rather say, I know. I know beyond all doubt that Jesus Christ has come into this world for me, and he holds me in his arms. Friend, if that's what Christmas has done, it has certainly been a blessed event for you and those round about you, I pray. But now there is another challenge, and that is that once we are ready to enter into the kingdom of God whenever he calls us, the kingdom of heaven, then during these years that we are here on this earth, that we are ready to be his servants in a ministry that he has to perform through us. For example, Simeon, when he was ready to go, spent the last moments that we know about him ministering to Mary and Joseph. In verse 34 of our text today, it says, Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. In other words, what he is trying to say, this young man will not have an easy go of it. I wonder how often Mary might have thought about Simeon's words. For example, when Jesus was performing some of his miracles, or when she stood as a part of the audience and listened to him preach and teach, she must have thought, is that what Simeon means? This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel? Was he going to be a person who would be rebuked real severely? And then later on in verse 35, he says, So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword, Mary, will pierce your own soul too. In other words, the day is going to come, Mary, that your heart will be crushed, for you will see your son suffer. And you are a human mother, and to see a son suffer as he shall do will bring sorrow to your heart. That's a prophetic message that this Simeon, who now was ready to go, is telling her that it should be no surprise. Can you imagine when Mary stood beneath that cross and was suffering? And that babe who had grown up to be a man of 33 years of age looked down from the cross and said to his disciple John, Behold your mother. Take your mother home. Don't let her go through all of this. Don't you understand her heart is crushed? For I am that babe that she held in Bethlehem's manger. I am that babe who she brought into the temple on that day that you took me and let me be in the arms of Simeon. Oh, I tell you, there were some tough hours in the life of Mary, for she had seen a son suffer. But it made the resurrection even more meaningful. For she who had seen her son suffer also was the one who was there when the tomb was opened, and he was no longer there. Now she really began to understand that it was all making sense, that he had been sent by God and that she had been used as an instrument of God to give him a body and to raise him and to love him and to be all that an earthly mother should have been to an earthly child. Now God was using this man. He was God. He was not only a man. He was a God incarnate who now soon would go back to be a part of the triune God in heaven. And those thoughts go far beyond what our minds can comprehend. Friend, there is a real message in here for you and for me today. When by the grace of God, through faith in Christ, we are ready to meet him, we have a ministry to perform. My pastor the other day, in bringing a greeting to the congregation, spoke to about 300 of us who are elderly. And he said, just remember this, that there is in this room of some 300 senior adults a lot of talent. There is a lot of experience, and a part of that experience was our experience with Almighty God. God is not done with you, he went on to say. It was so good to hear something like this that my soul just rejoiced. For sometimes we think that because we have reached a particular age, that God is done with us and the church is done with us and it can't use us anymore. That is not what our pastor said, and I thank God for his remarks. And it certainly has all kinds of biblical basis. Simeon knew that he still had a ministry as long as he was breathing. And now he was to minister to Mary. And he did that well. You and I have a ministry to perform. We have brought our children to the baptismal font. And for us as Christians of our particular denomination, where children are baptized, that means that we have brought that child that God might enter into a covenant relationship with that boy or girl. But you notice that Joseph and Mary did not just bring the child there to be circumcised and then let it go. They brought that child home and then raised him in the Word of God. And that's what we promised to do, to bring that child home and to immerse him or her in what is found in the Word of God, to introduce him or her to Jesus Christ, not only by the teaching in the Scriptures, which is by far the most important, but also subjectively to be able to say, now let me tell you. Let me tell you what he has done for you. And let me tell you what he has done for me. And what he has done for me through all of these long years of my life. If you will walk with him, he will bless you as well. This is what is important for us as parents and grandparents. It is important for us, even if that babe that we brought to the font is now older, a teenager, sit down and talk to him, dads and mom, about the Lord Jesus, and let her know exactly what place he wants to have in her life. That's our ministry when we are ready to go. When confronting people with the Christ, we want to let them know that loved one is so precious and the Savior has so much to offer him or her. How sad it is sometimes when you hear people say, "I never heard my father or my mother say a word about Jesus." Don't let it happen in your situation. And if that son or daughter is now older, even 50 years old, it's not too late to once again say, "You know, my years are coming to an end, but what peace it is to not only finish an old year, but to begin a new year, remembering that all is well. For Christ has come, born in a manger, dying on a cross, raised again, that we might have one who lives in our hearts and can make us fully confident that everything is all right. As we begin a new year, everything is all right in Christ. For whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. We are ready. Amen." Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings of 2003. We know that it has not been an easy life for many, and we know that there have been difficult days during this past year. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give us strength to face the new year. Forgive us our sins and bless us as a nation. In spite of our unworthiness, draw us closer to you, Father, and grant that our leadership may sense that they cannot really rule America in this new year without turning to you. Human wisdom is inadequate, and that is proven in every way. Grant, O God, that our men and women may come home from Iraq, and that there may be at least a semblance of peace. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. May our hearts continue to be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by our faithful listening family. We thank the many of you who send us an annual gift this time of year. We thank our listeners for your generous support. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Sermons are organized by topic to help you find out what you need. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 41 years.